Welcome to Leadership Bites with myself, your host, Guy Bloom. This is a leadership podcast where I have conversations with colleagues, I chat with guests, and sometimes they'll be just me talking. You can connect with me at livingbrave.com, and when you enjoy the episode, subscribe and please tell everyone. Freddie, absolutely fantastic to have you on this episode of Leadership Bites.
Great to be on, Guy. I appreciate you offering me to be on one of my favorite leadership podcast out there. Definitely.
Boom. That's it. And the podcast. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And let me tell you what I did was I usually have nice long hair, but I wanted to build the rapport because that's what I do with people. So I guess you can see the resemblance.
Do you know what?
It's between you and I.
It's literally, for those of you who are listening and not watching, there's a picture of me on the back of my own book, which I'm being shown, which is very ego gratifying.
So I went out and got the same haircut.
Got the same haircut.
That'd do it.
It's the way to go. You know, it's the future. So,
it sure is.
So listen, I came across you on LinkedIn. And as seems to be how I come across everybody these days. And, you know, we just resonated with just your profile. And I reach out to people when it feels like a kindred spirit. And that's always a beautiful thing. And, of course, you've got a book, which has just recently come out. So I'm now holding that up, and all the kind of the links will be in the description. But Second Nature Leadership, and I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to get to know you a little bit, and the who you are and the thinking behind it, and see where that conversation takes us.
Yeah, great. Well, I know a lot about you, so I guess this is my opportunity to speak about myself and definitely the book. Yes, thank you for showing that.
Well, that's because I'm obviously a kind of media ego driven lunatic. my whole life's out there. But let's get into you. So, Freddie, I would just like to I know who you are, obviously, but mm-hmm. Who are you, Freddie? What do you do? And then we'll move on from there.
Well, thank you. Again, I'm glad to be on. My name's Freddie Caceres. Currently, I'm an operations lieutenant for a police department in South Florida in the Miami-Dade County area. First and foremost, I'm a husband to a wonderful wife who has actually been the inspiration for my leadership journey. She has the most natural leadership qualities, per se, that I've ever met in anyone. So if I emulate anyone, it's definitely her and the way she interacts with people. So my wife, Lena, I have four children. Ethan's the oldest. Ethan is currently in the Air Force. He's serving in the U.S. Air Force. Wesley's 15. He just started driving. Hence the reason I had to cut my hair like yours, Guy, because I had a lot more gray hairs now that he's driving. Ryan's 14. And Abigail's my six-year-old daughter, who's actually the ruler of the house.
Of course.
Currently, professionally, I'm a police lieutenant. I oversee the operations of a police department in South Florida in the Miami-Dade County area. And I started in corporate America, and this was one of the reasons I kind of wrote the book, was because I worked for about 13 years at a large telecommunications company, which had several locations throughout the United States. And I really wasn't happy going to work, per se. You know, they say if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So in that job, you know, the years went by really fast when you're concentrating on the operations of a corporation. So eventually I wanted to be happy. So I had a buddy that got into law enforcement and he loved it. I did a ride along with him. And almost 14 years later, I've moved up through the ranks and here I am running a police department from corporate America to the public sector. So that's a little bit about myself.
Fantastic. So I visited Miami some years ago. It was probably 12 years ago, and I landed in Miami on Hip Hop Weekend.
Oh, wow.
And holy schmoly, was that a wake-up call?
Definitely.
Yeah. I was on the main strip at one of the hotels, and I walked in, and the lady behind the desk looked at me, and she went, first time in Miami? I went, yeah. And she said, on Hip Hop Weekend.
Yeah. funny enough, that weekend, that's Memorial Weekend, there's about 40 police departments in the Miami-Dade County area, and we all work that area on that weekend. So, yeah, it's a fun weekend. It brings some problems to the community. However, it's definitely a unique crowd. It sure is.
Well, it is, and the cars and the what was going down the strip, me thinking I was, you know, the world's answer to Jackie Chan probably at the time. I take a little bit of a wander out, and then I thought, you know what, I might be operating above my pay grade.
definitely give me a call next time you come, and I'll let you know if it's a good weekend to come down to Miami.
So I get where you are and what you're doing, so kudos to you. So you gave us a bit of a lead in there about sort of how you got into the role. Mm-hmm. But when it came to the writing a book, you know, I've been through that process myself, and I think everybody thinks, how hard can it be? And I definitely found it difficult, but I just wondered how, on your approach to it, what was the catalyst? What gave you the motivation? What was your, this is why I want to do it?
So I've been witness to ineffective leadership throughout my leadership journey. And I want to say that may have been one of the main reasons. Is so the police organization that I'm in now, it's a great place now. Okay. So we have leaders in place that are doing what it takes to run it the way we have it, with employee satisfaction and the way everything's running. However, when I entered into the police agency, it was a different culture. Right. And again, coming from corporate America, I came in just as a police officer, right? Lowest on the rank. And I would sit at the roll calls, and I would see the way the supervisors, you know, would function. And I was happy being where I was at, coming from a management position. I said, you know what, now I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to watch the supervisors do their thing. I know what's expected of me, and I'm going to shine, you know? So unfortunately, when you grow up with a father, the way mine was, which was hardworking, dedicated, and he raised us to be the hardest worker in the room. You know, he would definitely disagree with the phrase, if you're the hardest working, but if you're the hardest worker in the room, or you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Right. So he'd disagree with that. He wanted you to, you know, to be the best at everything you did. So, I mean, eventually the time came that, a sergeant position became available, and I put in for it. And then I got the role only with a couple years in, which was just unheard of. Usually people in 5+ years, so you're closer to 10. So, you know, not having a lot of support as far as trying to better the organization, you know, I was on my own for a while, but I started chipping away at it. And, you know, eventually a new police chief came in who had the same mentality. And I got support from the top, you know. So, but there was still the ineffective leadership present, and they you know, they would stick to their old school ways of dealing with the current generation, you know, per se. So, eventually, you know what? It's just little encounters at work and things that I found were effective, and as the change. The positive changes started occurring. You know, I said, you know, what if somebody in that position that they're stuck in their ways, per se, for the way they supervise, you know, what if they had the information at hand to read and stuff like that? So, you know, I just started, you know, I got the iPhone, you know, late in my life. I was, you know, about 30 years old when I had my first iPhone. So I had the notes app, and I just started making little notes, and one thing led to another. I started jotting it down, and here I am. I'm an author, you know. So I never thought I'd be a published author. However, I feel like, you know, sometimes people need to live through your experiences, you know, to change. So that was the main, you know, motivation for writing the book, is it's just to pass on my experiences.
Freddie, this may sound, you know, it's not a trick question, but why do you care enough to do it?
Definitely in a police organization, you know, police officers are out there and they're talking to the public, and they're in the restaurants and in the donut shops, and they're, you know, you want the public to know that, you know, that the men and women of the force are happy, you know, with what they're doing. And if they go out there and then you can see them and they're not happy and they don't care, you know, it's just a reflection of the entire organization and the entire city as a whole. And I've run into it. I've lived it. I wrote about it in my book. I was at a restaurant with my wife and the waiter came up and I said, "Hey, how you doing today?" And he says, "Oh, I got 10 tables. The manager doesn't hire people. Three people called out sick." You know what I mean? So I told him, "You know what? I believe in you. You're going to do a good job. You know, we're an easy table. We're not going to be too picky, you know?" So I gave him some positive feedback and, you know, and I realized, I said, "You know what? This person is the face right now of this restaurant." And he's, you know, he had a little more negative things to say than I'd rather say, but, and I said, "You know what, if the management in place would, you know, make the employees feel, happy, you know, to work there, they're going to, you know, that's going to resonate with your customers basically." So with police work, it's the same thing. No one wants an organization, a cashier, you know, to be talking about how bad the supermarket is. Definitely in a management position, you don't want your staff relaying that kind of information. So mostly that's the reason. That's the reason I care is because the men and women that represent our agency are your best campaigners out there. You know what I mean? They're your best source of information as far as how the organization is running. So basically that's the main reason why I care.
Okay. And if I, you know, somebody picks up your book, what can they expect to find within its pages? What are the things that, you know, that's why I'd read that book?
Guy, overall, and I mean, you know, I've heard several of your podcasts and I remember you mentioning something about a rubbish book that you read and how you didn't want to, you know, produce a rubbish book. And similarly, I've read several books with a lot of fluff and a lot of rubbish in it that I'm, you know, I'm going through it and it may make me want to skip some pages. And I didn't want anybody to skip the pages. I made the book purposely an easy read. I didn't want to get into a 400-page book. So, you know, I'm not a natural charismatic person. And that's very important in leadership. So basically the daily effective habits, you know, to improve your, you know, your performance part came into that, you know, repetition is the main principle of all learning. So self-reflection on encounters, and small, you know, just small day-to-day actions that, leaders forget. They forget the small things. I didn't want to get into graphs and charts and statistics. Okay. So, day-to-day activity, for example, I remember walking by my old boss's office and he'd be on his computer and, "Hey Fred, how you doing?" You know, and that kind of bugged me. So, you know, I wrote about actual encounters in the book. Every time somebody comes into my office, I make it a point to stand up. You know, I'll stand up, I'll shake their hand and I ask them something personal. "How you doing?" You know, rather than just giving them that, you know, that wave, "Hey, how you doing?" and not look up from my computer. So I had a lot of that in the book. Day-to-day, you know, interactions that I've had with employees, introducing the cleaning staff. You know, it didn't matter who's in the building. It's treating everybody the same way we'll treat the chief of police. Our cleaning lady's been there over 30 years, you know, and she deserves it. I just had a police officer from another agency come over to the police department and he's kind of inquiring on making the switch over to our agency. So he's in police uniform and I'm walking down the hall with him. And basically as the cleaning lady was walking by, I stopped and I said, "Hey, look, this is Officer So-and-so. This is, you know, Vicky, the, you know," so they kind of, you know, spoke a little bit, you know, and he kind of looked at me and I told him, "Hey, listen, just so you know, this is the way we roll here. You know, we're going to treat everyone the same way, you know?" So a lot of those interactions, daily interactions that have a huge impact, are situations that I wrote in the book, basically, that, you know, people could kind of say, "Hey, you know what? I'm forgetting this stuff. You know, I'm concentrating too much on X, Y, and Z. I better go back to the basics and kind of know how to interact with your staff."
I like that. So there's something, I've got a tickle in my throat here. Hold on. just what I need for a podcast. But there's something then about, you know, you can read the academic books, you can read the theories, but just something about not the simplicity, that's the wrong word, but some, you know, well, maybe that's it. The complexity is in the simplicity.
Definitely.
The basics right, maybe it's like in sport. You know, the best people at the sport are actually the ones that do the basics so well, you think they must be doing something else amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
But they're not. Yeah. They're just doing the basics well.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, they concentrate on factors in the organization and forget that. You know, don't get me wrong. I remember in your podcast with Duke Stump, you know, the former marketing director for Nike, talking about, you know, Nike spelled backwards and how you have to know your organization front and back. And I totally agree with that. You know, there's a lot more to it. And I do mention a lot of stuff like hard work. And the first chapter is called First In, Last Out, because it's what I saw my father do. He was the first one in the organization and the last one to leave. You know, so getting to that leadership position, you know, there's a lot to getting to it. For example, we recently, for our Thanksgiving event we had in the community, we give away turkeys. So I decided, you know, I said, let me take one of my boys. So, I brought Wesley with me, the 15-year-old. And on the way there, he asked me, hey, Dad, can you teach me to be a leader, a better leader? You know, so that was music to my ears, actually, you know. So I told him, you know, it's a long process. There's a magic switch. There's not a magic, you know, you say, hey, I'm a leader. Hi, you know. So I told him, this is a great opportunity. Our mayor is going to be present, you know, at this event. And now's the opportunity for you to show the hard work. You know, don't be looking on your phone. Don't be messing around. You know, so I was able to guide him into, you know, be seen first, be recognized, you know, get put into those positions to make a difference. You know, so I do, you know, there's, you know, a lot more mentioned in the book about work and, but overall, a lot of it is just relating the day-to-day information on stuff that I encounter with my employees.
You know? You seem to me to very much come as I notice this in people that are often in roles, particularly in the US, it seems to really shine to the people that are getting it right for me, which is from a position of service.
Yes.
And, yes, you know, yes. That's something that I'm interested in, that, because I think the caricature of somebody in the police force, or especially with social media and some of the stuff that gets out there, is we see the anomalies, I think, and not actually the reality of the men and women that are doing that daily. That's what we're really about.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the media is always going to be the media, and they're going to show what sells. You know, they're very rarely they're going to show a lot of the stuff we do. But yeah, there's so much that goes on, and it's so important now more than ever to have good leadership, especially in law enforcement, because, you know, the way we're seeing, it's just different times. And you know, I hate to speak to the youngsters and say, hey, it's a tough time to be a police officer, because yes and no. You know, when you talk about new officers coming on the force, this is their normal. You know, this is to them, this is all they know. They don't know the old times that we, you know, that I lived through. So this is their normal. So now we have to, rather than say, hey, you know what you're getting into? Do you see what's going on in the news? You know, it's the leader's responsibility to say, hey, you know, this is how we're going to deal with this. And basically just guide them, you know, into what the new normal is, I guess.
Okay. So for me, when I look at people that have roles such as yours, I'm always fascinated by some of the key stepping stones that may have led you to either have the insights or the points of reference that you've got. So I don't know if you have any key moments that you can share that might be something that either happened to you that you experienced and observed, or a piece of counsel that you were given, or a book that you read, it might be, but some of the things that maybe gave you those steps that say, when that happened to me, or when I read that, or whatever it was, that's when I felt myself moving forward as a leader. I mean, we've got the daily experiences, but then there are key moments or an individual, or it'd be lovely to hear that.
Right. Irony. I started mentioning earlier that I'm having the charisma and, you know, just learning from encounters, basically. But I try to sit back and after every situation and say, okay, was this beneficial or was it not? You know what I mean? Could I have gone about this a different way? So the second nature leadership part of it is that, you know, we have to, everyone has habits, right? It's about making your habits second nature. Okay. So for example, standing up every time somebody comes in my office, and it seems like a minor thing, you know, but it makes a big deal. It's not second nature to me to do that. And, you know, it's not one incident in particular. Basically it's every encounter that I've had that I've sat back and reflected to see if it was beneficial and the encounter to the person. But no, I mean, I could tell you, I speak about leading through a crisis now with the virus going on and stuff like that. We're in South Florida, so we're not, does that having our world turn upside down? It's nothing new to us. We have hurricane seasons and they rock our world, every couple of years. And, leading through a crisis, many people emulate their mentors. And, you know, for me, a lot of my motivation has been from seeing an effective leadership. However, during Hurricane Irma, this is one incident in particular that I feel like the mayor of our city was able to see, you know, my worth as far as being out there. I was out there for 5 days without coming home. And I did make a little mention of it in the book where we're out there at a low income trailer park. And our mayor was there on the front lines with us, you know, and he was unshaven and, you know, in police work, we got to be, you know, nice and clean, you know, shaved. And at one point he tells me, you know what, go home and get some rest. And I said, you know, with all due respect, I'm going to be here to the end. I was a sergeant at the time. And, he kind of gave me a look, you know, and I said, you know what, if you're here, I'm here, you know. So, you know, he was my motivation for that particular disaster, let's say, you know, that we were having. But also I was a sergeant, so I wanted my guys to see me there as well, you know. So it, definitely I'm watching him. I said, I know they're watching me, you know. So I had to be there. So I knew my family was home safe. You know, they didn't have any power, but I had everything set up, you know, shortly after everything came back to normal, the mayor brought me in and promoted me to lieutenant. You know what I mean? So there's definitely, you know, turning points in your life that you have to, you know, capitalize on, not necessarily for your gain, but just for, you know, for your betterment, you know? A lot of incidents like that, you know, that I sit back and reflect and say, what if I would have gone home? What if I would have, you know, talk to this person differently. It's a lot of self-reflection, definitely.
I'm very interested in that. I think there's a couple of things. I mean, one is I tend to believe that you can consciously develop yourself. You can say, right, I want to get better at. What I'm hearing from you potentially is almost like, this is why it's probably the book's called Second Nature Leadership, is when you make something your identity, mm-hmm. when you make it, that's what I'm about, then mm-hmm. I suppose that's one of the stepping stones to this idea of second nature, because that's how I identify myself. That's the human being I'm trying to be. That's the...
Right.
The story I want to be told. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe when you're doing that kind of thing, good things happen to you, generally speaking, because people don't feel there's an ulterior motive to what you're doing. They trust the integrity of it. So if it's, I'll be here till you're going home, because then you'll give me a promotion, that probably right. wouldn't work.
Definitely. That was the last thing on my mind.
Yeah, because that person, if they've got that emotional intelligence, looks at you and goes, oh, that's genuine. And yeah. There's a big difference, I think. And I think people pick up on that.
Of course. Definitely.
Yeah. So for you in the role that you're in, you know, I see this and I hear this reflection. I hear this constant kind of that definition of self, that this is a second nature of that, that reflecting and considering. Does it ever, are there ever hard times to stay on that path of doing things right and the right way?
Yes and no. You know, there's definitely things that do not come natural to me. I think you're born with a lot of qualities, and you're born with certain actions that come from your genetic makeover. And I talk about my father in the beginning of the book, how it was his ways was appropriate for the times. But, you know, he was a pretty hardcore manager. He was a leader, but he definitely was almost my way or the highway, which, like I said, definitely better in those times. But so, yeah, we come from our parents. We're going to, you know, have their DNA and some of their, you know, qualities and an effective quality. So, but we have to be able to learn from, you know, the way we are. Just cause you have that, you know, in your genetic makeover and your DNA, you know, there's no reason you cannot change. You can't change your ways so that they do become second nature habits, you know? And that's the main thing, as you said, is you have to acknowledge, you know, after a situation occurred, you have to say, okay, did I have to do that? Or could I have done it a different way? You know? So, yeah, very, very, very easy read the book, Down to Earth, a lot of real life encounters as such. And yeah, definitely there are times where I do have a hard time staying on track. But the key is, and like I tell everyone, is that you have to self-reflect and you have to, you know, you have to identify it before you could change the habit. Hmm. But sure, I would say yes, you know, definitely sometimes, you know, hard to stay on track.
So if you're okay, just there's a couple of chapters in the book that I think have got great titles, and it'd be great just to get a sense of what those chapters are about potentially. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite ones is sometimes your coffee has to get cold.
Yeah. And even it's intriguing. Yeah.
Even if I didn't read the chapter, I think that sounds awesome. You know, what does that mean? Sometimes your coffee has to get cold.
Okay. So, yeah. So definitely that was a real life encounter that occurred in our organization. So we have a communications center, which is basically the personnel who dispatch the calls. When you call the police, they get the information and they dispatch the calls. And I practice a daily routine that I call checking the pulse. And what I mean by that is that I physically go out to every office in the building, of course, time permitting, and I, you know, I don't walk over and actually check the pulse, but what I'm doing is I'm trying to get a feel for the employees that day. So it takes about the first hour of my day, you know, and I walk around with my cup of coffee. And it's a good time to, you know, get feedback from people. I try to make the encounters a little personal rather than work related. If I know someone, you know, someone's kid was sick or, you know, I'll call them by name. Hey, how's Joe doing? How's, you know, and if that leads to, you know, to work related issues that need tending to, it's a win-win, you know, I could use that opportunity to address the issues. But with the coffee situation, I had my coffee in my hand and I was talking to one of the communications officers and there was someone in the lobby. She says, hey, there's a lady in the lobby. She's been out there for a while. I think she's crazy. You know, she's said this, that, and that, and, you know, I said, okay. I said, well, let me see if I could take care of her concerns. So I set the cup of coffee down in the communications office and I made it out to the lobby. And, you know, it was a jurisdiction issue. It had nothing to do with our area. However, she's been thrown around to different police departments. So I basically, in that situation, I just, you know, I tried to tend to her concerns the best I could. I gave her as much information as I could. And I think she was happy. I think overall she was happy. I didn't totally resolve her issues, but I guided, you know, our customer. I'm going to call her our customer because, you know, basically the public is our customer. I come inside to the communications office and she says, was she crazy? And I said, well, not really. She just was trying to take care of X, Y, and Z, which the other agencies could not take care of. But I guided her in the right place. She says, yeah, so now your coffee's cold, you know, so I said, yeah, it's okay. You know, so I kept talking to her, and then like a second time she told me, well, now your coffee's cold. And I turned over to her. I said, you know what? Sometimes your coffee has to get cold, you know? So basically that encounter was a quick moment to, you know, make a note with that. Wow. You know, you don't have to wait for formal training sessions to train employees and guide them on the right thing to do. You know, easily they could have taken care of it as well, but she was able to see the way I took care of the situation. And all it cost me was a cold cup of coffee, and we had a happy customer, you know? So definitely that, you know, that was the guide to everything else that's in that chapter. But, hey, I went over and poured a new cup of coffee, big deal, you know?
I love the analogy of just, maybe it's sometimes you got to park your agenda. Sometimes something just has to go on. Something has to go on hold because actually I've got to deal with the thing that's in front of me. Right. It's a simple phrase, but I love it. And I think it really helps.
Yeah. I catch myself on my computer when someone comes into the office to speak to me, you know, sometimes I say, you know what, let me just, you know, put this on hold. And it's the same thing, you know, it's your cell phone. We all have them, you know, we're looking down at them. You're getting a text, you know, someone's inside my office. I try to turn my phone upside down, or if a text comes in, I'll look, make sure it's not, you know, home with a family emergency. I'll just get a little glance of it. And I won't touch it. You know, I won't touch it. As for, you know, current times now, everybody's talking and they're on their phones, you know? So yeah, it's basically just, you know what, cold coffee it is, or we'll make a new pot, you know, that's it.
So great. And, do you have a sense of, I mean, I don't know if you have ever thought about it, but I was so harassed in doing my first book that, primarily because I didn't know how to get it out, I think. And then I was lucky to meet somebody that gave me some advice, and I was like, okay, that's what I'm doing wrong. But I did get it. Do you have a second, you know, book in mind? I mean, I know I'm toying with the idea, but I've got the anxiety of the effort involved.
Definitely. There's, I'm working on book number two.
Okay.
Overall, what I'm going to, attempt to discover is basically, you know, what made the difference, what made the difference in other organizations. And I'm trying to, I could relate my, you know, corporate America, corporate life to police work, you know, just as, you recently had, Major General Paul Nansen, correct, on the show. And it was interesting to I told you, I'm a big fan.
You are, right?
So it was interesting to see him speak about the Army world, you know, leadership and how it pertains to the civilian world. So my personal experience with, you know, with a corporation, and then coming into to police work was basically, I found it to be very similar. It didn't matter what the job was. It was basically, you know, leading this organization and leading that organization is you're working with people and you're dealing with people, you know, in a leadership position, you're dealing less with a customer and you're dealing more with the personnel that deal with the customer. Right. So, I want to do some research, and I'd like to investigate, right. That's a good word. As a police officer, I'd like to investigate what made the difference, or what is making the difference, or what has made the difference in other organizations, what leaders of other organizations are doing and have done, basically to make a difference in the organization. So yeah, that's going to be the premise for book number two, definitely in the works. Thanks for asking.
No, I mean, it's just, when it comes out, we'll definitely talk about it, but we might have a little race then to see my book wasn't, an ebook either until somebody gently harassed me and went, I only read ebooks. And I was like, well, I haven't made it an ebook. So now I feel as if I might parallel my getting myself in gear and trying to get mine out. But so listen, in terms of second nature leadership, what's the feedback been? What are you getting back as feedback?
I'm getting great feedback. I'm very happy about the feedback I'm receiving. And I think it has a lot to do with that. It is different, than what is out there in a way. you know, reading guy reading your book, it's some of the stuff in here, you know, it's I can relate it so much, you know, to my book when you talk about the generations and how, you know, kids nowadays, if they type in unicorn, right, into a search engine and they don't get it back in a second, they're freaking out, right? So, you know, and I write about generations in my book, and custom leadership is the name of the chapter, is that, you know, you can't supervise a 25-year veteran the same way you do, you know, the new guys coming in. So while a lot of it you can relate to all the leadership books that are out there, yours being one of them, it's an easy read, like I said, and it's day-to-day interactions, and I try to leave out a lot of the chart graphs and, you know, statistics, and while they are important, however, in this particular book, I think people are saying, hey, I like the way you talked about your father. I like the way you talked about, you know, the young generation, you know, and speaking of generations, I actually had an officer, you know, fill out a handwritten form and take a picture of it. You know, and I saw him take a picture. I'm like, you know, it's something that I had to go up the chain of command. I said, does this guy think I'm not going to turn it in, or what's going on here? I said, you know, let me not jump to conclusions. So as he handed me the form, I said, hey, you mind me asking why you took a picture of the form? And he says, well, I could proofread it better on my device. You know, and I said, you know, before jumping to conclusions, say, what the heck are you talking about? You know, it dawned on me that if I write a memorandum or something on a computer, I could proofread it better if I print out the form. You know what I mean? So I'm saying, okay, I'm a little older than this guy. I need to print it out, and then I'll find my mistakes. It's the total opposite, you know? So, situations like that, I think that is what's giving me the best feedback for the book. It's the day-to-day interactions and actual occurrences, you know, that have occurred. But I'm very, very happy with the feedback. Very happy, you know. You know, I'm a police lieutenant. I'm technically not an author. I guess I am now. So, you know, even to have somebody ask me to sign the book is like huge. I'm like, really, you want me to sign the book? You know, so it's pretty neat. It's great feedback, and I'm happy with it. I'm ready to move on to book number two.
It's a beautiful thing when my 8-year-old said, well, initially when I was writing the book, I said, you know, Daddy's writing a book. And he went, yeah, but you're not an author. And I was like, no, I'm not. But when the book's published, I'll be an author. And he went, you know, he went, I was like, you know, and so there are these little moments, but you're right. When somebody actually wrote an unsolicited Amazon recommendation. So I didn't know who it was. I didn't know where it had come from. I couldn't have been happier. You know, yeah. It was just, you know, it was just one of those moments where you just go, yes.
And
somebody in Guatemala that liked it. You know, whoever they are.
I had a similar occurrence. I was sitting on the couch and I looked at a Barnes & Noble's review and I told my wife, look at this. And she said, "Who's that?" I go, "I don't know." She goes, "Are you sure you don't know who that is?" I said, "I don't know who it is." And we're celebrating, yay! You know. So, yeah, definitely great feeling. It's definitely a great feeling, guy.
So, listen, Freddie, I'll call us to a close. You know, this is, you know, this was a get to know you. This was to give the book a little bit of publicity. I think it's a beautiful thing, and I think you're a good guy. And
appreciate it.
You know, one never knows. But if it just helps, then, you know, I think for people, I know it's on Amazon because I ordered it to get it. So, you know, definitely check out Second Nature Leadership. I'll put the link in the description and we'll see if it helps. But on a personal note, thank you for giving me some of your time, Freddie.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guy.
That's it. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please share so others get to hear about us, and subscribe so you keep up to date on new episodes. Also visit livingbrave.com if you want to connect with me and find out more about executive coaching, team effectiveness, and changing culture. Oh, and of course, you can buy my book, Living Brave Leadership, on Amazon. So on that note, see you soon.